You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is a wonderful Wednesday to be in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Would like to take just a moment and invite you out to our midweek service. We have a Bible study tonight. We're going through the book of Exodus, and exiting Egypt is the book that we're using as our reference point. We're talking about a lot of things that Moses dealt with in his life, and Pharaoh, and what that could mean in our daily lives. So hopefully you can come out and join us for that. We do have a young adult class that meets on Wednesday night as well, and a kids class that meets on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We try and be very conscientious of your time, especially with school age children. And it starts at 7, and then people start fellowshipping and things like that after we get done right around 8 o'clock. So we provide the tables, and you bring your Bible, and we will be going through the book of Exodus, or most of the book of Exodus, over the next several weeks. So hopefully you can come and join us. Today we are going to begin a new passage. We've already talked to some extent that when God moves with compassion. We just finished on yesterday's program talking about that God is moved with compassion to forgive us. And as a result of that, we should be compassionate towards those around us and be forgiving of them as well. So the true nature of God's forgiveness is he values relationship with us, he cancels debt, and he's moved with compassion to transform our character so that our service to others looks like the service that he provides for his creation. He loves us. You know, always remember, the devil hates people and God loves people. And the devil will try and lie and manipulate people to think God hates people, when actually the devil won't lift a finger to help you. And God sent his son to die on the cross to cancel your sin and my sin. So we've talked about that. We've talked about that God's been moved with compassion to heal. We're going to look at a couple of other passages where the result is healing and deliverance, but each one of the situations looks a little bit differently. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 20 today. Matthew chapter 20. And let me start reading today at verse number 29. It says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him," Jesus. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You know, a lot of times when we are reading the Bible, and especially where Jesus is doing miracles, we often simplify things to such a great extent that I think we really fail to miss how awesome God is and what he does on our behalf. He makes the most complex things in our existence look extremely simple. So here Jesus is. He is leaving Jericho. He's got a tremendous number of people following him. And in the midst of all of that crowd, now a crowd doesn't do anything quietly. Wherever there's a lot of people, there is going to be a lot of noise. Just the shuffling of feet, the under the breath conversations get magnified, and we've talked about some of that sound magnification before. And they're following Jesus as he's walking down the road, and here in Matthew 20, there are two men who are sitting beside the road. They're not part of the following. They just happen to be there. The only thing that they've got a challenge with is they can't see. They're blind. Right now, especially in America, when people don't see things the same way, it tends to be a flashpoint of contention. When you're facing a physical challenge, the people that you might rub shoulders with, they may not understand the severity of the condition you're facing. And so these two blind men, they hear Jesus is coming by, and they recognize who he is and that they need him to have mercy and have compassion on them. And so they start crying out very loudly, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." I want to encourage you that if you are going through a difficult season, It might have been more than a season, and you are facing some real challenges, don't forget that God is merciful, that God is present where you are, that God is Lord, and that you can cry out to him. Those are four very important things to remember. The devil will try and convince us that when we are facing challenges, that God's forgotten us, abandoned us, doesn't care about us. None of that is true. He is present right there with you, and he's present to help. Now, what is amazing is that these two men who cannot see everything that everyone in the multitude can see, but they know that Jesus is the reason the multitude is traveling that way. So that means he's there. And they begin to use their voice to cry out so loudly that it gets the multitude's attention. The multitude that is following begin to turn to these two men who do not have the same capabilities that the multitude has, and they start telling them that they should be quiet. 2026 is not a time for the needy to keep quiet. It is for the needy and for the righteous to cry out to God even more fervently. If you are facing a challenge in your life, don't let it be an anchor that weighs you down. Let it be a launch pad that launches you into the presence of God. And how we respond to that is entirely up to us. So there are a lot of people that are telling the church, hey, just keep quiet. Y'all just stay in your little box over there and you just keep doing your little churchy thing and we're the multitude. Well, I've got good news for you that God is bigger than the multitude. God paid more attention to Joshua and Caleb than he did the multitude. The multitude was rejected, and those two guys got to go into the promised land. So I want to equip you this morning with news that will contradict the multitude, and that is this. Keep crying out. Keep crying out. I don't know if these guys had been born blind. It doesn't necessarily say that here. I don't know if they had been able to see and they had lost their vision. But I do know this, that they wanted their situation to change, and they knew that crying out to God was the only way that that was going to happen. So the crowd is saying, hush, hush, be quiet. You're creating a disturbance. You're making the rest of us uncomfortable. Well, I think that we as believers should intensify our prayer, because it may not be us who are blind, but we may know people in our lives who have been blinded to the reality of who Jesus is, and we should be crying out on their behalf as well. It doesn't have to be personal. It doesn't have to be just something that you're going through or I'm going through. We could be crying out on behalf of a coworker, a neighbor, or a loved one. And when society is telling us, hey, stop crying out and asking God to do the impossible, I want our response to be the same as what these two blind guys did, and that is they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. The more society tries to hush us, the more intense we should be. And it is, what is amazing is they said, oh, if that's what seems right is to quiet down, then we need to actually intensify our cry. It's not that God can't hear you. God's not hard of hearing. It's not that God can't see you. He's not hard of seeing. Jesus was the one leading the pack. He was the one that as they're going, the multitude starts following him. And what the multitude didn't realize is that they were getting ready to witness part of eternal history. Two nameless guys who prayed when everybody else was saying, it's pointless, just be quiet, stop praying. They cried out so loud that not only did they get the multitude's attention, but it caused Jesus to stop his journey. Verse number 32. So Jesus stood still and called them. I'm so thankful that we have the ability to hear God speaking to us. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be feasting on his word. You need to be spending time in God's presence. You need to be spending time around other believers so that you can learn the shepherd's voice. And so instead of just proceeding on, remember, Jesus always did what he saw the Father doing, and he spoke the things he heard the Father speaking. And so Jesus saw the heart of the Father for these two blind men. And so he stopped and he called them and said this, "What do you want me, capital M, to do for you?" I think that it is important that we be able to answer that question. Okay? These people not being able to see meant they weren't able to go to work. That meant they needed others to assist them to get from point A to point B. There were things that they were missing out on. There were beauties that God had created that they were not able to behold. And so Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And so he said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" I had a person one time. I've constantly looked for laborers to help us to reach our community better. And I remember I asked this one pastor. I said, "I'm looking for a youth pastor." And he said, "Well, what type of youth pastor are you looking for?" And I was like, you know, I've never had anybody ask me that question before. And I said, "I guess I'm basically looking for a youth missionary. A person who will go to young people and share with them what Jesus is capable of doing and wants to do in their life." And I will tell you that that's what I believe we have at Merit Assembly of God now. My son-in-law, who was one of my students in the credentialing class when I was teaching the School of Ministry, he was one of my students. Now he's married to my daughter, first generation believer, and he's got a heart for young people. And I realize that sometimes we need to help bring some clarity to our own self. God knows what we have need of. We need to be ready to answer the question when God says, "What do you want me to do for you? What is the latter part of 2026 look like?" That if God answers your prayer, it's going to see, because if we don't know how to identify it, then we won't know when we have it. They answered the question. They said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." They wanted to be able to see. But it was more than being able to see. It was seeing would allow them to be able to function, that they could be productive members of society. And with Jesus healing them, they would also be a living testimony to the transformative power of God. And so they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Verse number 34 says, "So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight." Again, a lot of times we think that we're just dealing with a transaction, that this is what I need, God can make it happen, let's get this thing done, and we go right to the bare essentials of the reality. So let me ask you a question. What was the malfunction with their eyes? Had they been born blind, or had they lost their sight? Had it been due to physical afflictions? Had it been done to because of trauma? There are a lot of different things. Is it a retina issue? Is it a cornea issue? What is the relevance? What's the real issue? I go to see an optometrist if I need my vision to become more clear. I went to an ophthalmologist when I needed my vision restored. Two people, both who understand the natures of the eye, but they deal with two different areas. Here, God deals with two guys, and we think of it as just being a snap of the fingers or whatever. I want you to understand that the God who created the universe is able to reconnect the most precise and most minuscule of elements in our eyes so that he could restore sight. And he does it not because he has to, but because he has compassion on people, and he has compassion on men. Guys, I know that we live in a world that is trying to tell us that guys don't need anything, and I'm here to tell you that I believe that men need Jesus. Real men love Jesus because real men need Jesus. And we need him to give us vision, and we need him to give us perspective. Society, men are often looking at the most basic of physiological needs, and they get fixated on that, or they get fixated on a career, they get fixated on possessions or whatever. And I wonder what it would look like if God opened the eyes of our understanding to see that men need Jesus. So he had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. I'm so thankful that he knows what part of us needs healing. And he's willing to touch that. And it says they immediately received their sight. Now, I am thankful for instantaneous miracles. I'm also thankful for miracles that, you know, they go from step one to step two to step three. I'm thankful for miracle or for healings that take place because of medical intervention. But I'm also thankful that for healings that take place beyond any explanation that modern medicine has to offer. You see, I think that the medical community can be a gift. I just think God is also got more capabilities than man has advanced so far. Men are constantly trying to understand. It's called, it's a medical practice. They're getting better. Hopefully they're getting better. And who knows, with artificial intelligence, there may be even more rapid advancements and things like that. But we're never going to get to the place where we don't need God. God's the creator of our bodies. He's the sustainer of our bodies. He's the healer of our bodies. And I believe that he not only wants to heal us, I believe he wants us to walk in health. I believe that's a great thing. A lot of times we ask God to heal us because of the bad things we've done to our body. And then once he heals us, we keep doing the things that were bad for us in the first place. Where I believe God wants to heal us so that we can walk in health. And here's the great thing. The guys who were just sitting there, they weren't part of the multitude, but they started with a prayer. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Jesus stops. What do you want me to do? They said, we want you to open our eyes. And so he touches their eyes, and they receive their sight. No matter however complex it was, He heals them, but that's not the end of the story. There are four more words that end chapter 20 of the Gospel of Matthew. And they followed him. Not only were their physical eyes opened, their spiritual eyes were opened. Now, when you can't see, you navigate entirely differently than you do when you can see. They would have had the clothes, and now they no longer needed to wear the beggar's clothing. Now they were going to be able to function, but more importantly than what they were going to be able to do socially was they were now able to follow Jesus. They could see him. They were there, and I once was blind, but now I see. So a lot of times I will ask people, have you ever seen a miracle? And I asked that question when Mark Perkey was here back in February. I said, have you ever seen a miracle? And a lot of people said yes. And I said, well, I want to introduce you to one, because he had a remarkable healing from terminal cancer when he was just a teenager. He's a walking healing, walking miracle. And the great thing is that event was just part of his journey with Jesus, and he's been following him and following him and following him ever since. The good news is Jesus is moved with compassion. He's got the expertise to heal whatever needs to be healed, no matter how complex it is. It's up to us to decide two things. Are we going to stop praying? And society will tell you stop praying, and we're going to say, no, we're going to pray louder. We're going to pray longer. We're going to keep crying out. We know what we need God to do for us, and we're going to keep crying out. Even if society says no, we're going to keep believing in Jesus. And then the next question is, will you keep following him after he's changed your life? And I pray that the answer to that is yes. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 p.m. If you come to our Bible study, you won't find any perfect people there, but you will find some people who love Jesus, who've been changed by his grace and are following him and want to follow him even more. Hopefully you'll join us tonight at 7 p.m. If we don't see you then, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.